Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So good. Well, it is still really, whether you're on a Western calendar or more go by the Chinese New Year, we can all agree we're early on in the new year. And when we come to that new year time, we understand that it's always a time for taking stock, is it not? We think about where we're at in life. We give ourselves permission to think about where we will expend ourselves during the course of the year. And with those things in mind, I want to speak to you today about this idea of kingdom purpose. Everyone say kingdom purpose. Kingdom purpose. Thank you, Joe. When we were born again, it wasn't just for us to be able to enjoy salvation. It wasn't just that we could enjoy the knowledge that our sins have been forgiven, although that is it and that is glorious, but that is not all of it. More than that, we've actually been born again for purpose. Do I have an amen? We're called to live productive lives for the Lord. And so many of us get excited about this idea of productivity, do we not? Who loves a good to-do list and that endorphin rush when you tick it all off? Who gets a good buzz out of finally washing your car and scrubbing your shower? There's lots of hands going up. We just get that buzz of productivity. But there's a particular productivity that goes along with, or that's even expected of, our life in Christ. Have you ever thought about that? We're called to live productive lives in Christ. Jesus says this in John 15, verse 16. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." I've called this sermon today, "Fruit That Will Last." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Fruit that will last." Fruit that will last. It's a call to kingdom productivity. The scripture here tells us that we have indeed been chosen by God. And without taking a deep dive into the doctrine of predestination today, there is this truth in God's word that we have been chosen by Him. Remember back to the time of your salvation. Remember back to, you know, the different events over the course of your life. I bet you can attest to this idea that the Lord Himself was drawing you. Do I have an amen? You know, that perhaps He worked through people, that perhaps He worked through circumstance to draw you unto Himself. He wooed you and He pursued you until you yielded to Him and put your faith in Him. Am I right? Is that our experience? You know, so there's this truth. We have been chosen, which is a wonderful and amazing thought. But the text does not say, "You did not choose me, but I chose you," and then place a full stop. That's not how the text reads. The text reads, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last." There's actually purpose attached to the fact that you have been chosen. We're chosen and appointed to bear fruit, to live fruitful lives. And what's more, the scripture says we're appointed to bear a particular type of fruit, fruit that will last. It's talking about spiritual fruit, not fruit that's here one day and gone tomorrow, but the fruit that the Lord will actually watch over eternally, the fruit that He will bless, the fruit that He is interested in, the fruit that He will multiply, amen? So we can live fruitful lives in very natural ways. We can scrub lots of showers. we can, you know, kick lots of goals and have lots of achievements and experiences and acquire lots of things. And there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. It's just that kind of fruit doesn't last. It doesn't last. Look, can we put this photo up? This photo, this car that drove past me, I was a passenger. Don't worry, I wasn't on my phone while I was driving. Disclaimer. But this gave me a giggle the other day. someone's BMW 3 Series with its boot held together by gaffer tape. Love a bit of gaffer tape. I mean, once upon a time, this luxury vehicle was probably someone's pride and joy. It was probably like the fruit of their hard work, the fruit of their successful career, and now it's gaffer taped. My point being that some fruit in life just doesn't last. Some fruit doesn't last. But in the kingdom, we're called to bear a different kind of fruit, a different type of fruit. It's the type of fruit like influencing somebody else's life for Jesus. That kind of fruit will last, like doing things in faith that God can bless, that God can use, like doing things in faith that the Holy Spirit can ride in on. It's the fruit of your generosity. It's the fruit of your quick obedience, yeah? It's the fruit of your spiritual growth, your spiritual maturity. You going in growing in the Lord. It's your fruit of your devotion and your intimacy. All of these types of things are examples of fruit that will last. God can bless these things. He can multiply these things. He loves these things. What about the fruit of our lives transformed? What about the fruit of a transformed life? During the week, I witnessed very up close and personal the lasting fruit of a transformed life. Sadly, one of our beloved Myrie congregation members, she went to be with the Lord recently. Sharon Johnson O'Keefe, some of you may know her. She lost a battle with lung cancer, and I had the honour of conducting a section of her funeral just during the week. And her celebration service absolutely shone with the fruit of a transformed life. Yeah, she was an amazing and interesting person. She was a karate master. And she spoke Japanese, and she'd been a lot of places and done a lot of things, and that was wonderful. But what really impacted the room, what really impacted every single person there, churched or unchurched, was her faith and the way that she had actually allowed Jesus to transform her life. See, she only came to Jesus in her 40s and then passed away at age 60. And the testimony of her life was that she became a completely different person in Christ Jesus. And every single person around her could see it and was impacted by it. I want to tell you, that's the fruit of a transformed life. It impacts, it has an impact, it leaves an imprint on the people around us, and it shines for Jesus, and that's the kind of fruit that lasts and that leaves a legacy. And we're actually all invited to bear the fruit of our own transformed life. You understand? Like 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says this. It's quite a well-known scripture, but I want to read it again. And we all, with unveiled face, continually seeing in a mirror the glory of the Lord are progressively, everyone say progressively, progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, amen, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Like your life looking more and more like Jesus, that increasing glory in your life from one degree to another, that is kingdom fruit. That stuff lasts, I promise you, that stuff remains. But just because we're called to bear this kingdom fruit doesn't mean we're actually bearing it. Just because we're called to go to new degrees of glory doesn't mean we're actually going there. Am I right? So it begs the question today for all of us, how is your fruitfulness? How is your life when you assess it under the lens of kingdom productivity? When was the last time you felt within yourself that you personally went to a new degree of glory? And do you even desire to? Like, do you desire a greater level of transformation? Do you desire to bear the fruit of the kingdom, to bear the fruit that will last. Or perhaps you're happy with the fruit that you've got. Perhaps you're happy with the glory that you've got. Sometimes I think we can actually stagnate in our holy desire. We've all been there. You know, stagnate in a desire to even be productive for the kingdom. Perhaps we get drawn towards the fruit that doesn't last, the BMWs and such, or the other material things, the experiences and achievements, the earthly things. But perhaps within that we have little desire for the fruit of the kingdom, for this different type of fruit. Maybe it's been a long time since we really hungered before the Lord for a work of transformation inside of us, that he would go deep and that he would take us to a new degree of glory, that he would transform us and form Christ in us. Maybe we've stagnated a bit or settled a bit, and it could be for a number of reasons. It could be because we're a little disheartened. It could be because we feel we've tried before and failed. It could feel a little burdensome, that it's all a bit too hard. Maybe you feel, you know, well, this is just how it is for me. I don't think breakthrough is possible for me. I don't think I can change. I don't feel like I'm an overly spiritual person or one of those really holy people. You know, that dream I had when I was younger to do things of significance for the Lord, I think I was just a bit carried away. I think it was just youthful enthusiasm. You know, has anyone ever had some thoughts like that? You know, whatever the case, I'm putting it to, have we lost a holy desire to bear the fruit of the kingdom, to actually bear the fruit that will last and go to new degrees of glory? Have we lost it, or has it stagnated in us? And my prayer for us today is, if that is the case, if we've taken our foot off the accelerator when it comes to the things of our spiritual life, or if we can remember times in our past where we were hungrier for these things than we are right now, my prayer is that would change. My prayer is that this year in 2025, there would be a stirring to see new and holy desires birthed in the church. Amen? That we'd hunger for our lives to be spiritually productive lives. Does anyone want that for their life, for their 2025? Would we hunger to go to a new degree of glory? Because these are the things that please the Lord. And this is the type of fruit that will last. No gaffer tape required. Amen? Fruit that will last. To go a little bit deeper in these thoughts, I want to take you now to the book of Mark chapter 1, and it's the moment that Jesus first calls Simon and Andrew to be his disciples. And what we know about Simon and Andrew is that they were grubby fishermen by trade, and this Jewish teacher comes to them. He comes right where they were working, right where they were toiling by the sea, and he recruits them basically to a new life in the kingdom. And we read this in Mark 1:16. And as he, being Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And then they immediately left their nets and followed him. These really simple verses actually hold so much gold for us. Jesus says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Right here is actually a case study of John 15:16 that we read a few minutes ago. It's being outworked here in the lives of Simon and Andrew. Here they are being chosen and appointed to bear fruit, fruit that would last. You understand what I'm saying? It's like Jesus is saying to them, "You guys are doing relatively well. You're fishermen. For all intents and purposes, you're living fruitful lives. You're catching the fish, you're making the money. But now, I give you an invitation to fish for men. I give you an invitation to a kingdom assignment. I give you an invitation to bear a different kind of fruit, fruit that would last." Amen? And what I want you to find deeply encouraging here in this text is this kingdom assignment was given to such ordinary people. These were not holy people. They were fishermen. No offense to fishermen in the room. I'm married to one. but it's not that glamorous. You know, you don't need a degree for this kind of work. It's such a lie that only elite people or only like polished people or any particular type of person or very spiritual person or whatever, it's such a lie that they're the only ones who are called by God to bear fruit that will last or who are chosen by God to do things in his kingdom. Here we see Jesus in essence demonstrating that anyone can work his works. Anyone can do his work. So if you're feeling like you're not enough to bear the fruit that will last, it's a lie. It's rubbish. He used fishermen. He used the broken woman at the well. He used the man full of demons at the Gadarenes. He wants to use you. I want to say over your life today, he's chosen you. He's appointed you to bear fruit that will last. Amen. To bear fruit that will last. And Jesus is so helpful in this text. Isn't Jesus helpful? He's so helpful. He takes this whole conversation with Simon and Andrew, he takes it to another level by saying essentially, okay, the mechanism by which this whole transition is going to take place from you fishing fish to fishing men, the way that's going to occur is by you following me. That's the mechanism. And suddenly we're brought into this idea that to bear the fruit of the kingdom is a partnership. Yeah, everyone say, it's a partnership. Simon and Andrew could not enter this new kingdom assignment on their own. The necessity was that they follow Jesus. And the text in Mark 1 would read very, very differently if Jesus had have said to them, off you go, boys. Go fish for men. See you later. Good luck to you. The text would read so differently if it said that, wouldn't it? And we all intuitively know that if that's what Jesus had have said to them, they probably would have failed miserably. They probably would have flopped and failed. The whole success of the transition, fishing fish to fishing men, hinged on these words, follow me and I will make you. I will make you. Bearing kingdom fruit is a partnership. So if you want to live in increased levels of kingdom fruitfulness in 2025, you have to understand it is a partnership. You have to partner with Jesus. Yes, there was a role for Simon and Andrew. They had to follow. But there was a role for Jesus. His job was to make them become. The job of Jesus was to make them become. I think so much of our problem as Christians is we get the roles confused. We think we have to make ourselves become. Do we not? We think we have to make ourselves become. In my own strength, become a fisher of men. In my own strength, become a bearer of fruit that will last. We can hear a message like this one, and maybe our conscience gets a little bit rattled, and straight away, our brains jump to, I got to do better. I got to do more. I better push more in this direction or that direction. I got to strive a little bit more over here so that maybe I can be a bit more fruitful. If I just huff and puff enough, then I can go to a new degree of glory. Has anybody ever felt like that before? But Jesus didn't say to the boys here by the lake, by the sea, he didn't say, make yourself. He said, follow me. Follow me and I will make you. If you boys do the work of following, I will do the work of making. And the same thing that he said to them, I believe he says it to all of us. Follow me, I will make you become fruitful. I will make you become more like myself. It's impossible in our own strength, but as we follow, in constant proximity to Jesus. You know, these disciples, they followed their rabbi. They followed him close. It wasn't by coercion. It wasn't by force. It was by choice. As they followed, that was where the formation of this type of fruit that will last actually occurred. That was where, in close proximity to Jesus, that was where the glory intensified. That's where the transformation actually took place. As we follow him, he makes us. Yeah. But it's so counterintuitive, is it not? I think we're so accustomed to working for our achievements. We're so accustomed to working to be fruitful. Like if you have a degree here today, you worked for that. Do I have an amen? You know, if you live in a house and you're debt free, you better believe you worked for that, or you married someone rich, or you got a great inheritance. You know, but you know the point. You get the point. We work for our achievements. There's this idea of self effort, our own ability to work, our own ability to manufacture. It's so hardwired into us when it comes to thinking about productivity that we impose this works mindset and this works mentality on top of the things of the kingdom. But his kingdom is an upside down kingdom, amen? And the way works work in an earthly sense do not work in a kingdom sense. The way works work in an earthly sense do not work in a kingdom sense. Rather, Jesus says things like this, follow me and I will make you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you come to me and drink? And if all you do is drink, then out of your inmost being, rivers of living water are going to flow out of you. The kingdom paradigm, the pathway to bearing this kingdom fruit that will last is not one of striving and huffing and puffing, but of following and flowing and drinking and all of these types of things. And if we go back to John 15, Jesus himself calls it abiding. Everyone say abiding. Abiding. John 15, verse 1. Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Everyone say, abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. It actually couldn't be much more plain for us than it is right here. Jesus is actually bending our minds. He's saying our kingdom fruitfulness, not our regular fruitfulness, our kingdom fruitfulness is actually connected to our ability to abide in him. When we abide in him and he in us, it's right there, the scripture says, we bear much fruit. It's not abide plus strive, it's not abide plus hustle, abide plus, it's just abide. Abide in him and I in you and we bear much fruit. He is the only source. A close relationship with Jesus is the only pathway to this type of fruit that will last. There's no wriggle room. Jesus doesn't say, abide in me a little bit and then hustle on the side, you know, do a little bit of self-work, self-effort, that sort of thing. You know, it doesn't say that. Jesus actually says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do no kingdom thing. It's a spiritual principle. Flesh gives birth to flesh. It's only the spirit that's actually going to reproduce the things of the spirit. And John 15 tells us he's the vine. He's the source. And we, our lives are like a branch. Just like in your garden. Who's a gardener? My hand should be down. But I know enough to know if you cut off a branch from the source, from the vine, from the trunk, that thing is going to die. There's no doubt about it. It will actually die. And John 15 is telling us the same thing. It's telling if we're cut off from Jesus, spiritually speaking, there's no life there. There's no life at all. And in that place, we can't actually produce anything of the kingdom. If we're cut off from him, we will not produce the fruit that will last. It definitely doesn't stop us from trying, does it? We still strive. We still work for God in our own strength. We get busy doing for God and we forget to be with God. Has anyone ever done that? Am I the only person? Of course I'm not. But we do it because we're so accustomed to this self-effort. We're so accustomed to the striving, the performing. Literally 100% of the rest of our lives functions like that. We got to be productive at work. We got to be productive at home. We got to do all the things. To just abide in the presence of Jesus doesn't seem like enough. And yet the Bible says that it is. The Bible says, abide and you will bear much fruit. And if we're interested in bearing the fruit of Christ's upside down kingdom, then we have to start thinking upside down thoughts. We need to actually ask the Holy Spirit to rewire our thinking and to get the self-made part of us out of us and to actually learn what it means to abide. Jesus says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Everyone familiar with that scripture? Deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. And we always think about that scripture in terms of sin and temptation and the flesh and that sort of thing. But I want to put it to you that it's also about works and striving and performance. And they're all other types of expressions of our self-life that actually have to be denied in order to truly produce the fruit of the kingdom. Deny yourself, follow Jesus. Don't strive, but abide. Don't try and make yourself, but allow the Lord to make you. Am I making sense today? I've been trying to get these ideas through my own thick head. Rewiring the brain is easier said than done. Am I right? There's a lot of unlearning that needs to take place. You know, to think kingdom thoughts, to have the mind of Christ in this place. There's a lot of unlearning that needs to take place whilst, like, I learn to just understand what it is to abide in Christ, to have an abiding life in Christ and desiring that he would bear and form the character of Christ inside of me and the produce the fruit of the kingdom out of me and desiring within myself that I would go to new degrees of glory. And I promise you, in this process in my own life, I have had to relinquish pride in my own efforts. I've had to let go of the self-made stuff, the flesh-made stuff, and different aspects of performance, and actually let that stuff go and just allow God and believe him to put my faith in him that he would do a work, that he would actually bear the fruit of the kingdom out of me as I abide in him. And in the past for me, it's always been about, you know, prepare the message and do all the stuff and huff and puff, and if I do enough stuff, then I'll produce the fruit of the kingdom. But these days I'm trying to go slow. I'm trying to do it from Sabbath. I'm trying to do it from rest. And my prayer is, Lord, would you prepare the messenger? Would you prepare the messenger? Like, work in me so that kingdom fruit can come out of me. My prayer times look different these days. More sitting than striving. More open hands receiving than furious requesting. More deep trusting. Sitting on the word, standing on the word. There's a lot more soaking and silence as I practice abiding. And trust me, I feel myself push back. Has anybody ever, how hard is it to just sit in the presence of the Lord? We feel ourselves push back. I don't feel like I'm doing enough. I don't feel like surely I have to do more. I need to huff and puff some more. But I'm learning that this partnership is grace-filled. It's grace-soaked. It comes to me because he is good, not I am good. And I'm hungry to like put the word of the Lord to test. I'm hungry to see him bear fruit through me because I learned to abide in him, to follow him closely, just like those disciples on the shore that transformed from fishermen into apostles. We still walk on their words and their formation to this day, thousands of years later. I'm just trusting that he would do the same in me, that as I follow him, he would make me, amen? And at times, you know, it really seems to be working. It just seems so natural for me just the other day, just during the week, to smile at this lady on the street. Next minute, we were deep in conversation and she opened up to me. She told me she is pregnant out of incredibly difficult circumstances. And she was off to the doctor that very morning to talk about either terminating her pregnancy or maybe even adopting. And there was no striving in me at all. There was no works in me. I was not about to tick my evangelism box for the week. I just said to her, "Do you know Jesus?" And she said to me, "Well, I go to church sometimes." And I said, "Can I hold your hand? Can we pray? Can we commit your baby to Jesus?" And she said, "Yes." And I kid you not, on the side of the road, she started to weep. And we held hands and we prayed. And I was able to pray for her. And together, we dedicated her unborn baby to Jesus. And I don't know what's going to happen next in her story, but I feel like that's fruit that will last. I feel like that's something the Holy Spirit can ride in on and bless and multiply. I'm done preaching pretty much. I get too excited. The singers and musicians can come and join me today. But one day, each and every one of us, whether we're aware of it or not, are going to give an account before Jesus of what we did with the life he gave to us. And I don't want to get to that moment in my life only to find out that the majority of the fruit of my life didn't last, didn't cross over. I don't want to find out that I'd stored up lots of things on earth but didn't have much stored up in heaven, you know. And we got to stir up a holy desire within us. We've got to seek for the Spirit's help to actually live fruitful and productive lives in the kingdom of Christ, not for an earthly kingdom, but for his kingdom, amen? The way we're going to do that is not by stressing and striving, not by huffing and puffing, but we have to break down that works mindset and just figure out what it means to truly follow Jesus in close proximity and allow him to make us. Really figure out what it means to abide in him and let him in that place transform us. Let him in that place take us to a new degree of glory as you behold him. As you behold him, he takes you from one degree of glory to another because it's the Lord. It's a work of his Spirit. It's not the work of our strong arm. It's the work of his Spirit. The summary of, I guess, this whole message in a sense is just simply this. Stay really, really close to Jesus and we'll be fruitful. That's the summary. Stay really close to Jesus and you'll be fruitful. When the branch stays connected to the vine, the fruit takes care of itself, amen? And my prayer is that this year we would be those people. We would be a fruitful people. That we would be a church full of people that who are bearing fruit that will last because we're abiding in him, amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.